Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Humaning Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Lloyd, and I love that you're here. From a young age, I've been asking life the big questions, and it's led me down some interesting rabbit holes. I'm going to be sharing with you some of the ideas, theories, practices, and ways of being that have made my life easier, better, and more fulfilling. We're going to explore what it means to be human, from the weird and the wild to the utterly wonderful, and we're going to talk about how we can do it in a way that not only leads to amazing results, but feels good in the process. Come on, let's human together. Hello and welcome to the Humaning Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Lloyd, and I love that you're here with me today. I love that you've come back for another week, or maybe this is the first week you're tuning in. Either way, it is blimmin' brilliant that we get to spend this moment in time and space talking about something really magical, which is us. We are that good, everybody. We are human. We are human souls. We are out there doing the damn thing. We are magical in a world of muggles, and I want to bring you some of the goods today, some real good stuff, if I do say so myself. We are going to be talking about humaning with a focus on humans as systems, like high level kind of theory stuff that I love to talk about. A lot of the Humaning podcasts thus far have been talking about specific bits and bobs of being human. We've been talking about human issues from a more elevated, deeper, sort of almost spiritual lens. But today I want to bring you some of the goods in terms of my theories, my working theories around what it means to be human and how we can human effectively. Last week on the Humaning podcast, we talked about how, you know, in this podcast going forward, humaning is going to cover the human, the soul, and the life piece, which is basically all of existence, everything. And within the human, I sort of talked about us, like broke us down into a system of three primary centers of intelligence, talking about our mind, talking about our heart, and talking about our body, or, you know, our gut brain. And today I want to be doubling down on the human organism that we are, mainly because this is the sort of stuff I wish I had have known first. Like when I got into personal development, it was very much mindset. The book that tumbled me down the rabbit hole was Mind Power by John Kehoe, and it was brilliant. I love it. And at the same time, I realized for me as a whole human, as a human who is not just mind, where it is not just mind over matter, I realized that I wanted to bring a more holistic conversation to you today and a more holistic view of what it means to be human, because very often in the personal development space and in the self-help space, it can be very mind heavy. It can be very male centric. You know, the mind is kind of masculine in its essence. Obviously, like, we're not talking about men and women, we're talking about masculine and feminine energies. And the conscious mind is very masculine in a way. It is, when it is at its most effective, it is focused, it is creative, like it decides, it goes after the hunt, it decides what it wants and it goes for it, which is really, really important and very powerful stuff. You know, in last week's episode, we were talking about mind magic, and I really do believe that the mind is magic, but it is not the whole conversation that needs to be had in terms of us being here as humans. And if we want to be powerful in this world, we need to live not just in our minds, but in the world, not just in our minds, but in our heart, not just in our minds, but in our primal body, in our physical body, and really optimize all of those aspects. So that's what I wanted to go into deeper today. And there is a reason why I want to talk about this, other than the fact that I'm obsessed and won't stop talking about it, even if you tried to make me stop. Can't stop, won't stop. But in last week's episode, I gave some life updates. I shared my humanings what's going on in my life, you know, having a young bub as I do, and just kind of pondering on what's the next step for me. And I came to a beautiful point of peace and clarity, and I am an external processor. Sometimes I need to share what's going on for me and hear those words back in order to really see if something's correct for me. I'm one of those people that, like, when I say I'm going to go to the gym, like, often I'm one of those annoying people that will, like, say I'm going to do it, like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym, and then it might be a couple of months before, like, it's actually fully in my body and I'm like, yes, I'm going, I'm doing it. And once there's that traction, once the rubber meets the road, then you cannot stop me from going to the gym. But I might need to kind of talk about it and float the idea and feel into it for a while before I'm actually ready to follow through. And so I've changed my plans. In really just appreciating the Humaning brand and falling in love with its trajectory and falling in love with the art of expression, I was at that point where I just wanted to focus on the bits that I loved. And often that part is the stuff I do for free. It's the writing, it's the speaking. And I wanted to give myself permission to just play fully in that space and monetize some of my other skill sets. I was talking about how I was going to go back and get a muggle job, how I was going to monetize my skills in, like, the project management space and in, like, just the project space in general. I'm sort of like a jack of all trades because I've floated around from job to job, office to office, hoping that I could find my one purpose and calling in the corporate and public sphere, because it's so much easier and feels so much safer if my purpose were just to be an employee, to do, you know, to be told what to do, to not have to be led by my soul, but to have a boss. Like, my human loves that idea. Like, I, just like when I was younger, I would be very jealous of the Christians that could just believe in a God. Like, they just had faith. Or, like, my analytical mind was like, but I'm not exactly satisfied by my religious education's teachers, like, his answers to my questions. Like, I was really jealous of the people that just believed. And in that same way, like, my human is jealous of people that are very happy in their job. Like, it feels like it would be so much easier if my soul and my essence could be fulfilled and maintained by someone else, like, in a job. That would be really nice. But I am a round peg trying to fit myself into a square hole. And I thought about it in terms of, like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to make easy money? And what I mean by easy money is to get a nice-ish salary for kind of going below my intelligence level, you know, like, doing something that maybe didn't push me, so that then I had the mental and emotional energy to channel mostly into my family and into humaning, like, into my writing and speaking about being human. And I had this, like, realization of, like, that's not actually easy money for me. Because if I spend a chunk of my life not bringing my whole self, not doing the things I'm passionate about, doing things that, skills that I can do because I've got a brain in my head, but I'm not actually that into, I realize that, like, it's not like I do that and then afterwards I'm, like, brimming with energy and I'm like, yay, I have all this energy to channel into my passions. If I spend, like, a few hours, 5 hours, whatever, doing someone else's bidding, doing things I don't care about, using skill sets I don't care about, afterwards I am drained. Like, not being fully in my magicalness and kind of, like, just accepting a bigger portion of a muggle life than I want to, like, that drains me. That's not easy money. So I'm just bringing you along for the ride. I'm bringing you behind the curtains. I believe in being fully ourselves and just sharing what's on our heart. So once again, I'm processing in real time, because as I heard myself saying that, I was like, oh, actually, I don't know if this is it. I don't know if this is the tea. And I was talking to my partner about it, and up bobbed a beach ball that I kept pushing down for one day. You know, those things that we just keep saying, like, I'm going to do that one day. I'm going to do that one day. I'll do it one day when I have the time. I'll do that one day when I have the energy. I'll do that one day when I have the connections. All these one days, really what they're doing is we're hoping, like our mind is hoping, that there will be one day when it will be safe. There will be one day when it will be certain. There will be one day when it doesn't involve risk, that it doesn't require bravery, that we'll just have the confidence that it's like a no-brainer, a sure thing, that if we do it, bada bing, bada boom, it's wildly successful. And everything comes up us. Yay. That's what our mind wants. And that's not the game of life. Like, if we're actually going on our soul's journey, on our soul's path, so often that requires us to be at the edge of our understanding, at the edge of our capabilities, at the edge of what's known and what's certain. And so I'm going big. I'm doubling down on the magicalness. I'm doubling down on what I love. I'm taking the brave and meaningful path. Will it work? Who knows? But it will. It will. It absolutely will. And do you know why it's 100% guaranteed to work? Let me tell you why. Because I realized, because this beach ball just keeps coming up for me, it keeps coming up, it keeps coming up, I'll throw it away. It might be 6 months before it comes back up. It might be a year before it comes up, but it keeps coming back up. And so I know that there is this idea on my heart and in my mind that until I say yes to it, it's going to block a whole lot of other magic. It's like this, it's a bottleneck. It's this thing that I need to do, whether it's because this thing is meant to be wildly successful or whether it's because it's the thing that I need to do in order to be open and available for the next thing. That's not my job to know yet. All I know is that this is where I'm called and this is where I need to go. And what I intuitively feel is that it's almost like a bit of soul retrieval for myself. Like, I feel like in saying yes to this dream, while I believe that it can and will be very viable from like a financial and also like a sense of giving me meaning and purpose, what I really sense is that there's a version of myself I am in the process of becoming. And through saying yes to this opportunity, through stretching myself, through braving the unknown, through backing myself, through being myself, you know, not just being like, oh, well, I'm saying yes to this thing, therefore I need to be like professional and wear my blazer. And I mean, yeah, I need to boss up, but I need to be fully myself in this process. That's what I came here to be. I came here to be Michaela. I came here to be myself. Yes, I am going to grow and I want to cultivate my skills. I want to cultivate new skills. I want to become a better version of myself. But I just very strongly sense and I know that in saying yes to this thing, the most valuable thing that I get out of this, the most successful thing that comes of this, is the person who I become in the journey. The version of me that is more brave, that is more free, that is more wealthy, that is more of a boss ass bitch. I love being in the creative space. I love being the artist. And that in and of itself was a reclamation. That was a massive piece of my inner child that I pushed away as I sort of like, you know, my subconscious mind was formed and I became more muggly and I became more a person of mind. And, you know, it's very easy to do when you're in the school system and in the workplace. It was a reclamation to kind of like own my inner artist. And now I just feel like this next journey, it's like a full embodiment of bringing the artist along with like the boss ass, badass bitch. So yeah, I'm doubling down. And the fun thing is, like, when I was talking to my partner about this, he was like, if this is going to work, you need to go all in on this. Like, this needs to be your one thing. And when he said that, I was just like, like, I am unwilling to not focus on humaning. Like, I am unwilling to not focus on this brand. I'm unwilling. Like, it's been such a long time in the making. I have so much joy and I feel so full when I speak about this that I am unwilling to not have this as my one thing. And it's funny how sometimes we think of things as separate because they might have a different look or they may serve a different audience. And then I realized, like, oh no, this is all humaning. But what I'm going to be monetizing in this first instance is humaning in the workplace. It's through doing corporate workshops, it's through doing workshops in corporate settings around well-being and around performance, like around helping people get the best out of themselves, and in doing so, which will help workplaces be high performing and to have a culture of wellness. Something I'm really passionate about, having worked in like a gazillion different workplaces. Like, when I was paid to have other jobs, what I really loved was loving on my colleagues, was through seeing the systems and through seeing the organization through that lens of well-being and through seeing it through the lens of optimization, how we can get the most out of people. And I want to be bringing this personal development to the workplace because so many people don't know that they need this stuff. And yet if they were paid to be there, if there were a way that they could have this information and it would make them feel better in their workplace, I just think of the light that would radiate in, out into my community, like out into the world, out into their families, if people had access to this information on how to feel good within themselves and to work with their nature and not struggle against themselves, then there would be so much light activated in this community. There would be so much goodness activated. People would feel better within themselves. They would feel more purposeful in how they show up in their 9-to-5. And the people that, like, it would give them permission to realize if something was for them or not. You know, the problem with going down the personal development rabbit hole is that sometimes it has different outcomes than we anticipate. Sometimes we go in thinking like, oh, this is going to make me better at my job. And then we realize our values. We understand where we've been playing small and where we've been letting fear win. And we're like, oh, actually, there's this beach ball that keeps popping up and I'm going to be brave and I'm going to answer that. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful for the workplace. If people that are not aligned with that mission realize that they are not meant to be there, that's incredible for the workplace. It's incredible for them. Everyone wins because then it frees up that position for someone who is aligned with that, for someone who is stoked to be there. Because if we are working against our soul, like if we are pushing down that beach ball, using that energy to be like, no, I'm not going to be that. No, I'm not going to do that. We feel unconsciously or consciously a great level of resistance to the job that we are doing. So we are in our desk and we are not enjoying it. We have to use effort and willpower and struggle and energy to get us to do just like our standard KPIs. If we are not aligned with our job anymore, we are draining our energy. We are draining work's resources. It is so much better to be aware of what's happening within us so it frees us up to do what we really love. And so often for people, if they're not sure if their job is their purpose or if they feel like there's a bit of calling, the best thing to do is to like keep doing your job, but do it with gratitude, do it with appreciation, do it with a growth mindset of I'm going to try and be the best I can in this position. Because when we are operating from that point of openness and positivity, without resistance, without that heaviness, without working against ourselves, we let the light in, we let the good word in, and we free ourselves up to ideas, we free ourselves up to possibilities and opportunities through being fully immersed and fully grateful for the life in front of us, and through doing a good job, through putting our whole heart and bringing our whole self to it, that's when we manifest miracles. And it might be that, like, the upshot of that is that we fall completely in love with what we do, we activate another level of it, and we just love it. And the other side of that is that we might be invited into better opportunities through going full out. Someone might see us in that state and be like, you know what? I want them to come work for my team, or I want them to come work for my organization, or I want them to step up into this role. And the best part about being in that state, in that magical state of openness and exciting and of excitement and moving towards what we want and having that growth mindset, focusing on developing our skills and just putting positive meanings over things. When opportunities come from that state, it feels like pure magic. It feels like life is throwing us a surprise party. It's the most funnest thing. And I have done that myself. I have had jobs created for me out of thin air based on this state of alignment, based on this state of positivity and being a good, like a force for good in this world. And even if that doesn't happen from the outside, the amazing thing about being in this state of positivity is that we positively manifest ideas within ourselves. When we're in this positive state, we're in that state of pure potentiality. We're not buying into our muggleness. We're not buying into like, what's the logical step? What's the logical next thing I should be doing in order to be a success? Like, we are a magnet for positivity and good things. And often those good things are what we attract within us, those ideas that come up within us, those opportunities we decide to create. So if, as I'm saying this, you're like, I don't know if I'm living my purpose, I'm not sure if I'm doing what I love, like, I mean, for one thing, look out to a workplace near you because I may be coming. But it's about being open. It's about growing ourselves, feeling positive, moving towards what we want. And in the process, all our crap's going to be dragged up. But so often, we're not even aware of the fact that we are operating from our fear conditioning. We're not aware that we're not actually moving towards what we want. We are running away from what we don't want. So many people in their jobs, the reason why they take action in their jobs is to not get fired. Or to not miss a mortgage payment, to not be starving, to not have their kids go without. It is a game changer when we actually shift to another level and we operate from a place of, but who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? What are the things I'm actually seeking? That is a game changer. That is a shift, like a lane changer. And that's when magic happens. And I like to think in this moment, I'm a living, breathing example of that, because what I've spent these 21 minutes talking about was not really what I intended to talk about. I had a whole lot of other stuff planned. So we're going to slightly pivot. We're going to pivot in the room in the moment. And I'm going to bring you some of it. And I'm going to save some of it for later. Also, right before I get into this next lot of magic, I just want to say that I have... In doubling down on humaning, I have opened up my Instagram and like changed my handle so that it can be associated with this podcast. So if you're listening on Arrow FM or if you've found me through the Podsphere and you want to see behind the scenes, you want to get closer into my world, then you can find me on Instagram. My handle is the same as my email. So my email is humaningwithmichaela@gmail.com. If you want to find me on Instagram, it is humaningwithmichaela. Michaela is spelt like Michael with an A on the end. If you don't know how Michael is spelt, I can't help you. That's your first assignment. Figure out how Michael is spelt. Add an A on the end and then you will find me at humaningwithmichaela. Also, other exciting news. In me doubling down on my creativity, I gave myself a birthday gift. Well, several. I actually bought some really beautiful oracle cards because it's one of my favorite ways of magicking, is just picking these pretty beautiful cards and seeing what subconscious things come up in response to that. But the other present I got myself when I turned 35, holy shit guys, it happened. I am like mid-30s. I bought myself a blog. So humaning.blog is officially a thing. Is it live? No, it's not. If you want to type it into your phone right now, humaning.blog, you will see that the site is not yet live, that it's coming. Get excited. Coming soon or something like that. I don't know. It's just like the very automated standard message. But there is going to be an associated blog with this. So if you are listening to this in the future, if you're listening to this 6 months down the line, a year down the line, hey, probably even like a month down the line. I'm moving and I'm shaking. I've got my period back now, postpartum, so it's like I'm feeling like myself again. Praise Jesus. So if you're listening to this down the line, go to humaning.blog, see what I've been talking about. This is going to be a place for my artistry, for me to explore the ideas that we talk about on the Humaning podcast. I love writing. Writing was my first love. Speaking is something I can't not do. I can't not shut up. I came from a loud family where everyone was talking over everyone else. So I can't not have a voice, but it was writing that was my first great love. I've been journaling since I was a wee sprog. I can't not write. It's a necessity for me, and so it's a really fun place for me to explore things in more long form content. Instagram, I feel somewhat creatively capped by just a little bit, just a smidge, because when I talk, I want to take up all the space. I want to be so much. If you watch my stories, and you've seen me when I'm, you know, like operating on all cylinders in terms of humaning, you know, I got words on words on words, and I love that for me. And I also want to appreciate that social media is often a space where, you know, my magic is in amongst everyone else's magic, which is perfect and beautiful. But it's like, I also want to honor the people who love seeing my behind the scenes, but don't have time to read a gazillion bits of essays. And, you know, these beautiful people, you maybe you're one of them, that prefer just more snapshots. And yes, you will hold your finger on the story to read the longer thing, but it is easier for your brain when it's shorter. Whereas like my blog, this is like going to be those Sunday morning cozy reads. It's going to be like, brew your coffee, sit down with your woolly socks on, get cozy on the couch, because Michaela's got something to say. And I want to have that space, that cozy space. Like, while the book is still in process, I want something that is like that cozy, long form written space, which is why this is a gift to myself. And I love that we get to share it. All right. And now that we have done the bread, let's get to the meat of this bitch. Let's talk about humaning. So when I first got into personal development, it basically broke my brain. The first time I was alluded to the fact that we live in two realities. That we have our inner reality and we have our outer reality. And in fact, our inner reality is our primary reality. Our inner reality is the reality in which, like the world in which we are fully immersed through our thoughts, through our feelings, through our senses, through our urges, through our nudges, through being human. And that our outer reality is our secondary reality. Our outer reality is interpreted. Our brain and our body interprets the external world, and we filter it through our own channels. We make meaning out of the world based on our inner reality. It really broke my brain at first when I understood that, because I hadn't been taught that. I learned that I was a person of the world, that it's like, I'm just a person out there in the world. I honestly thought, though I hadn't consciously thought about this, I genuinely believed that my mind was a mirror of the world. My mind was a mirror of reality. If a bad thing happens, I feel bad. If a good thing happens, I feel good. I just thought that like our inner world, although like this wasn't a conscious thought. I was so unconscious, and granted I was all of like 20, so give me a break, but like I was so unaware that my inner world had not only was like a thing, but that it actually had a creative and influential effect on the external world. I didn't understand it was my primary reality. I thought it was just like a whatever, just a mirror, just a reflection, a secondary reality, like a natural byproduct of this external world. It really rocked me and shocked me and blew open a massive hole in my life of pure potentiality, a hole that was filled by golden light, like a really magical portal. Like that was like my platform 9 3/4 I tumbled through, when I realized that my inner world is not just a reflection of my outer world. And in fact, my inner world is responsible for how I feel through the thoughts I'm thinking, through the what I'm believing, through the meaning I'm making, through the stories I'm telling myself, through how I'm narrating my experience, through the meaning that I'm making of my feelings, through the meaning I'm making of my senses, through the meaning I'm making of my external circumstances. That's what I'm feeling. I'm not feeling the world as it is. I'm not feeling these objective facts. I am feeling the world in a very subjective way based on my internal programs, based on my internal filtering system. And that was mind-blowing for me. It was mind-blowing when I realized that actually how we think, how we feel, the actions we take are highly and deeply creative in this world. We have an effect. We are not just affected by the world. We are an effect in the world. We are the cause. We move and the world moves with us. We change the way we think and our life changes. We change the way we feel and our life changes. We change the way we feel and people around us change. Our inner world is powerful. When we are aware of the fact that our inner world 100% affects how we feel, like our inner world and how we think and how we're feeling, like that is really the main thing that influences our inner world. Like, of course we're affected by the world around us. Of course if there's a saber-toothed tiger chasing us, that has an effect. There's a symbiotic relationship between our inner and our outer world. However, the world does what it does. We have a very unconscious influence over the world. Like, in terms of when it comes to our manifestations, when it comes to the life that we lead, this is not 100% within our conscious control. There is so much, the world's going to do what the world's going to do. There is a deeper order, there is a deeper interplay that our mind does not have conscious control over. Good, because our minds can be idiots sometimes. Like, when we think of how we've grown and changed in our life, isn't it good that like 17-year-old us wasn't in control of the world? Like, thank goodness, praise Jesus. It's good. But when it comes to how we feel in our life, we get to decide. Our inner world is king. Our inner world is queen. And also, in very tangible ways, our inner world has a ripple out into the world. Our inner world can be felt in the external world. Like, if you think about someone that you just don't like. Like, if you think of someone that you just, from the start, you got bad vibes from them. You're just like, I don't know anything about that person. I haven't actually talked to that person, but like, not for me. That is their inner world reflecting out into the physical world. That is their vibe you are picking up on. And granted, it's not to say how you feel about someone is not the truth of who they are. It is a subjective truth that is relative to you. It's not to say that, oh, I get bad vibes from that person, therefore that person is bad. It's just, no, relative to the person that you are, you feel some type of way about them and you're like, not for me. And very often, it might actually be when we get bad vibes, it may actually be because, like, if we're in a reactive state, if we're in a state where we don't feel good about ourselves, then you might actually get bad vibes about someone in a very positive state, about someone in a creative state, about someone who's answered their soul's calling and feels very purposeful in life. You might be like, I'm not sure about that person. And what you're feeling is that you are not in resonance with them. They're on a higher frequency. They're on a different frequency. Not saying it's better or worse, but it's just they're on a different vibe. They're on some different shit. And actually, you in your contracted state, you in your state of limitation, you feeling not good enough is not a match for them. So we feel people's inner worlds in our outer world. People feel us. We pick up on their frequency, and very often we're not aware of it. Consciously, we're not aware of it, but subconsciously, like in our body, in our heart, we feel it. That's very often why we have these instincts or intuitions about things, because our mind can only consciously process a fraction of what we see in our external world. We might be like, we might hear what someone's saying, but we're not actually paying attention to, you know, maybe how they're like shifting in their body or whatever, but like we just get a weird vibe about someone, and that's because subconsciously we're consuming all pieces of information. We just don't consciously have access to it. So we get these like nudges, these instincts from our subconscious and from our body of just like, don't know how I feel about that person. That's because our subconscious is taking everything. It's paying attention to all, and we can only consciously process a little bit of it. So we get like these little snapshots of like, don't trust that person, do trust this person. Don't go that way, do go this way. Because deeper parts of us are actually picking up on all of this stuff. When we're operating in that reactive model of the world where we are just an effect of the world, we just feel how we feel. You know, that person cuts us off in traffic, we feel mad. We get fired, we feel sad or disgruntled or bitter or whatever. When we are operating in that reactive state, we are controlled. We are controlled by the world, we are controlled by life, we are controlled by our muggle mind, we are controlled by our primal body. When we step into a proactive state and when we decide, like, I'm the cause, I'm the one, like, I am going to have an effect on this world, like, the world is going to feel me. I'm not just going to take, and like, just look around you. There is some craziness in the world. Do you want to be the effect of that? Do you want to be just like, at the whims of the madness? Or do you want to be the one that has the influence over your environment? Do you want to be a force for good in this world and be like, bitch, this world is going to bend for me? It's going to bend for me. When we step into that empowered state, everything changes, and it can be very easy to overlook whether we're actually in an empowered state or whether we're in a disempowered state, whether we feel in control or whether we feel controlled. And this is where information is power, because if we're not aware of the fact that we are primarily existing in our inner world and that that affects everything, that is the filtration system through which we take in the world, it's very easy to feel so caught up in the whims and to feel like our happiness is on the other side of our goals and like our happiness is on the other side of the thing that we're seeking. If you have no money in the bank, of course you feel like, well, once I've got money, then I'll be happy. And let's be honest, there are some practical realities. Like, as human beings, we need to eat food in order to survive. However, like, this idea, like, if we are alive, if we have enough food to keep us alive, if we have air in our lungs, if we have enough water to live, there is actually very little we need on a primal level to exist, to be here. Yet as our mind has developed, you know, our gut brain, our primal brain is our first brain as a physical body. Like, it's that thing that makes us move away from the thing, from pain, and move towards pleasure. It's driven by fear and desire. Like, that's our first brain. We have the brain in our heads now. We have a prefrontal cortex which puts all these conditions over things and says, yeah, but what do people think about you? Yeah, but like, that person, they actually have more status than you. Like, everyone thinks he's cooler than you. Like, we add so much fear to our physiological system that really has nothing to do with our survival. It's kind of us being a wank in a way. It's us caring about social hierarchy because we're worried that if we don't have good standing and if people don't admire us, then we're not safe. We've added all these extra layers of complexity to our human experience for what is essential. Stripped back to our bases, like, stripped back to the basics, there is very little that we actually need. And if we have appreciation, if we are focused on the positive, if we are saying kind thoughts about ourselves, if we are open to the magic of this world, if we are, you know, doing some Eckhart Tolle, like, power of nowing, there is so much magic in the moment outside of anything that we possess and outside of anything that the world controls. If you're in a coma and you're lying there and you can't move your body and you can't consciously think, you still exist. You're still in this in-between state. And I'm sure, just like there's pleasure that can be taken in a dream, there is pleasure that can be taken from that moment of just simple existence. You know, when we were kids, I know for me, like, some of the greatest joys I got was from playing outside. It was through indulging in my imagination, which costs me nothing, which wasn't gifted by the world. It's something I innately have. Those were my favorite times, playing out with the fairies, playing out amongst the flowers, just going with the flow of life. There is so much pleasure and joy to be found in the moment when we're actually present with it and we get out of the story of what we thought we ought to have by now, or who we thought we ought to be by now, or that person has more than me, or that person's more successful than me, or that person's skinnier than me, or prettier than me, or buffer than me, or whatever. When we get out of the world of mind and we actually tune into and have appreciation for what's available in front of us, there is so much joy to be had. And when we're looking at the world through the lens of positivity and appreciation, there is so much power from that place, because we're not saying, like, we're not being reactive. We're not saying, hey, world, you need to give me this in order for me to feel good. We are saying, no, I am committed to feeling good. I am committed to having appreciation. I am committing to finding magic in the scraps, in the crumbs. And then when we get bigger things, when we get better things, we are flooded with appreciation. We are floored by the beauty and the magic of life. And that's available to us at any given moment. So it's important we get honest with myself. Like, am I being proactive? Am I being creative? Am I being the cause? Or am I being reactive? Am I just being influenced by the world? Am I letting life all over my face and doing nothing about it? And through the humaning lens, you know, let's look at us through the centers of our three intelligences, through our mind, through our heart, and through our body, or through our gut, through our mental self, our emotional self, and our primal self, our physical self. When we're reactive in our minds, that's when, first of all, like, we're just unaware. We are letting our minds think whatever we want. We're letting our mind go unchecked. Now, if your subconscious mind is instilled with oodles and oodles of positive self-belief and positive belief about the world and positive meanings, you know, if you're the child of Tony Robbins and you just automatically have all these positive thoughts and nothing bad ever happened to you, then you can probably go with the flow most of your life. You can go with the flow of your thinking and it's probably going to serve you. But for most of us, for the average person, or for most, probably 99.99999% of people, there are things within our subconscious mind that don't actually serve us, that make us feel crappy about ourselves, that make us feel unsafe in the world. There are programs we've been indoctrinated by around, like, scarcity, around, like, oh, if I have some, then he has none, or if he has some, I have less, or that, you know, you have to be a certain way in order to be loved, you have to be a certain way in order to be good enough. Very often, it's not because of the words that were spoken to us when we were a kid, we were raised by loving people, but people that they themselves had their own insecurities, their own fears, their own scarcities, their own limitations, and so we picked up on that, we incepted that. You know, both my parents were heavily influenced by religion, and I've been to Catholic school. I'm not sure what's happening these days, and I'm not shitting on Catholicism, but for me, it was so fear-based. It was shame-inducing. It was guilt-inducing. It's like, feel bad for being alive. Feel bad for the life that you are freely given. If you go with your urges, if you go with your desires, if you go with your God-given desires, then you're bad, you're sinful. Life should be tolerated. Is there that thing that you really love? Go without it. You shouldn't have it. You don't deserve it. It's bad to want it. Devils in the desires. Like, a whole lot of stuff that makes us feel bad for being who we are, for being human, for being as God intended us to be. Like, I'm sorry, but like the devil was ruling that show, you know, like, I'm sorry. I know that seems dramatic. Please don't sharpen your pitchforks. If you're religious, I love Jesus. I love God. And very little of that was present in my education. I was actually, and this is, we're going off the deep end. I was floored when I read the New Testament. I was like, where was this? Where was this unconditional love? Where was this non-judgment? Because why I had so much resistance against so much of what I saw was because of the judgment. It was the shit that Jesus was flipping tables in the synagogue about. You know, man worshipping men's laws, not God's word, you know, not this whole like love everyone, not like, you know, everyone's part of God's plan, all that sort of stuff. I digress. We're well off the deep end. But anyway, with our mind, are we aware of the thoughts that we're thinking and do they serve us? So often we get bogged down by, is it true? Is the thought I think about myself true? Is the thought I think about him true? Is there is no such thing as objective truth when we are so deeply subjective. What matters is, does it serve us? The way that we're thinking, does it actually serve us? Does what we're believing, does it actually serve us? The identity we have about ourselves, does it serve us? Does it serve us being happy? Does it serve us being great parents or great partners? Does it serve us having the life that we lead? It's really important that we're aware of what's happening within us. Awareness is the first step to actually pay attention. Because then at that point we can be like, if my mind is a garden, is that thought that's planting seed in my subconscious, is that a beautiful flower or is that a weed? Is that something I want more of or less of? Because if it's not, I need to pull it out. If it's not, I need to plant something else in its place. Our mind, unchecked, will just think all day. It's a thought machine. It's just throwing up thought after thought after thought after thought after thought. And there's nothing inherently bad about that. But if we are buying into thoughts that reinforce a version of ourselves that we don't want to be, or reinforce a version of the world that makes it so much harder to show up in a positive way, then that's a problem. That is a weed that we need to pull out, and we need to plant something positive in its place. So we can't just be reactive to our mind. If we are not in control of our mind unconsciously is controlling us. We need to take back the driver's seat. Now, I'm going to be completely honest, guys. There was so much more I wanted to say. I have literally talked like 1/10 of what I was actually intending on saying today. But I felt inspired. I felt the juices flowing. And I trust myself enough to believe that what I want to say is what needs to be said. What I want to say is what you need to hear. If you've listened up until this point, there have been things that my mind from the outset didn't plan that my heart in this moment needed to say. So rather than be like, I'm going to make the longest podcast episode in the world, when in fact my baby's just woken up, I want to go give him some milk, have a little cuddle, have a little play. We're going camping today. Well, not actually. Not camping in the traditional sense. We're going to our cabin on our beautiful nature property and we're going to stay for like 4 days. I've got some packing to do. So I'm going to go do that and just trust that the other stuff that was going to be said will be said when it needs to be said, when it's the divine timing. So thank you for being here today. I appreciate you. Thank you for allowing me to be fully human and to go where my soul and my heart wanted to go, even though my mind was like, stay on script, girlfriend. Like, there's a deeper magic that our mind often is not privy to when we are brave enough to actually say the thing, do the thing, be brave, show up, and be fully fucking human.